In today's episode, I've got Darren Norris, Norris Actual on Instagram, back for a discussion on masculinity. There's a lot of stuff going around. Andrew Tate's of the world. I don't want to turn it into just a knock against that sort of thing, but I want it to be a positive discussion on what we think masculinity is truly about. So on that note, I was reading an email that I got from Arnold Schwarzenegger's email newsletter, and he went through some core qualities of a rugged and flexible masculinity. And it is strength, wisdom, emotional flexibility, humility, true confidence, and physicality. And I wanted to parse through those things with Darren, because when I think of someone who's a truly good and positive masculine role model, I think of someone like Darren, who has spent a large amount of his time of his life serving others and raising a family to do just that as well. So I hope you join me for the rest of this episode. I think it's a really needed conversation that we need to be having across the internet in general, honestly. So thank you, and let's get on.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We're your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
Well, man, we had a good workout this morning. Had a pretty decent breakfast.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get after it some more. Thanks for coming back for part two.
Oh, yeah, man. It's always good to be here. And just make sure I stay awake after that workout.
I know.
Batting up on Lizard's Thicket.
Shout out Lizard's Thicket. Maybe Ooh, they'll
throw some coupons.
Yeah, man, throw some coupons. Well,
I got to, you know, circle back to breakfast. My comment about the bacon. If it folds, it ain't bacon.
I like that.
Wasn't expecting her response.
Yeah, you're like, extra crispy bacon. If it folds, it ain't bacon. She's like, well, some of them like it limp like that.
She didn't like it limp, she said. Like, damn. I'm like, okay, just the bacon, please, ma'am. Just the bacon.
For real. Getting old school in the thicket there.
I know, right?
Well, dude, I wanted to talk about something, and I couldn't think of a better person to have come to the show here and talk about it. But I want to talk about masculinity.
You could have thought of a lot of better people. They just weren't available.
Nah, dude. I had Logan, your son, on last month. I think it's when the episode ran. And I haven't met your other son yet. But Logan is a great example of a solid man. You know?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And he didn't just, you know, come out of the egg that way. I mean, like, he had to be raised, you know, and he gives you and, you know, his mom all the credit.
Well, she's a lot tougher than
But that goes into it, though, right? I mean,
it's a team effort.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I said, hey, I want to talk about this. And you wanted to make sure that, you know, anybody listening understood we're not talking about, like, your orientation or what you want everyone to recognize you as. That I don't care. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about the subject of masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah. It has nothing to do with a person's orientation or gender or anything. It's gender focused, I think, more so with the word for what it is. Masculinity as it's defined. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're talking about, but yeah, you're spot on.
It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, you know, these traits. And somebody I've started, it's funny, I'm with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I can't,
who?
I can't say his name right. he just had a book, and I was listening to his book like on Audible, and I can't listen to more than like 3 minutes without trying to impersonate him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever listened
to him. I want to hear your best impersonation.
I can't. I'm not even.
Come on, you got to do it.
I'm not even going
to. Nobody's listening.
Get to the chopper.
Who are you talking about? I don't recognize that one.
I know, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Arnold who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
You have a good one?
Not really.
Yeah.
But you know what? It would be one of those two. It'd be get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Or I'll be back.
I'll be back. Yeah. Get to the chopper goes in my mind first, but I'll be back as a close second for sure.
Or F you asshole.
That's a good one.
I could say it in Greek, agamiso goulotepe.
Oof.
Yeah. I think that's right if memory serves. I learned a lot about the Greek side of my family from I won't say where, but let's just say I learned a lot about the Greek side of my family, the off the boat ones from years back.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bookies and monsters.
So how do you end up in law enforcement from a long history of that?
Well, you know, I didn't know them too well, but they I was talking to a chief of staff from one of the congressman's office that used to work in that area and was telling me some stories about, because he lived in that area.
Yeah.
And was telling me some stories about it. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Yep. Moving on, let's talk about masculinity.
Well, I overlooked him my whole life. I mean, like, I've always been a fan. I've loved his movies.
Yeah.
You know, and he, I think of anyone, like maybe him, like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
You know, you think of Rocky and Rambo.
Yeah.
All the characters Arnold has played, like, you know, this 80s, early 90s, like Hollywood version of masculinity, right? Like, it's hard to not think of that.
Yeah.
But like, there's also another side to him. This isn't just a fanboy rant about Arnold, but there's another side to him. I mean, he was a politician.
Yeah.
You know, he's had personal issues that he's overcome.
Sure.
You know, but he's written a book. He puts out an email newsletter that comes out each week, and it's really good stuff. And he put out this one section of qualities of rugged and flexible masculinity. In the Arnold Pump Club, which is like, it's like a contradicting thing here, I guess. But he's got these, and I wanted to go through these with you and just get your perspective on them and kind of dissect some of them. He has six qualities of rugged and flexible masculinity: genuine strength, wisdom, emotional flexibility, humility, true confidence, and physicality. So, genuine strength. When you hear that term, what do you think of?
Genuine strength, I think, would probably come from our core, not necessarily getting in the gym or doing something. I think it's, you know, because strength can be defined, you know, in a lot of different ways, whether it's how you face a challenge in life or, you know, how much steel you sling in the gym.
Yeah.
Or like what we did this morning, you know, that was no easy workout, but you know, we got to we wanted to get to the hump set. So it was downhill from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's pushing through things, and it's, you know, and we can go down the rabbit hole like we do with a lot of our conversations, but, you know, it all ties in my opinion, to the genuine strength and the other things we'll talk about in a few minutes here is, you know, and you hear, you know, discipline, self-discipline, motivation.
Yeah.
You know, this morning,
I think, man, that's it.
I had, you know, the self-discipline side, I had to really dial that in, you know, and
hit snooze a couple times.
Well, yeah. You know, Jocko's always, oh, don't hit snooze and all this stuff. Man, I wore that snooze button out.
The snooze button is a lie.
But I did it strategically. I knew how many 8-minute snoozes, man, that's what I was set for. But I got up and I wanted to look for an excuse of why I could call you and not come work out.
Right.
You know, but I didn't do that. So that's where that self-discipline. But my motivation was about zero.
Yeah.
So my motivation kicked in when I walked in, saw you, we fired each other up and we got after it. That's where the motivation aspect comes from. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't have the self-discipline component and the lack of motivation, then I would have probably continued to hit snooze. But I just, you know, I hit it up until that strategic moment where I knew I had to get up, feed the dog, let the dog out, get dressed, and then go to your place downtown.
Mm-hmm.
With a little fudge factor for traffic.
Fudge factor. Yeah, I mean, you're spot on to what he says. I mean, he has clear-headedness, composure, and stability and stability amid uncertainty. I can't read this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm still oxygen deprived from that workout.
Because you never know what you're going to face. And you've got to just, you've got to be able to have the fortitude to work through that adversity.
Relying on those things, relying on that basic discipline.
Yeah.
All those basic factors.
Absolutely. And you have to rely on yourself first. You can't rely on other people. You always hear nobody's coming to rescue you. And that's exactly right. You have to rely on yourself first and have those qualities.
Yeah. Nobody's saw that on a patch and I wanted to get it. Like, nobody's coming to save you.
Yeah.
It's up to us. No one's coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Like originally? I wonder.
That nobody's coming to save
you? Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a military law enforcement.
Somebody probably posted it somewhere and it's just worked its way around, because it's definitely from a social media thing, because years back, that's something really I never heard. Doesn't mean it wasn't there. I just never heard it until I remember it. I mean, hell, I barely remember what we had for breakfast. but that seemed to be to me a few years ago.
Yeah.
Started hearing that. So who knows?
Yeah, that's a good one. I tell myself that often. You have to. But that's something that I always, like with my two sons, I always wanted to make sure they were capable in some basic things, you know, like, and it seems basic, but like, I know so many people that, like, they have kids that, you know, 18, 20, and they've never changed a tire.
Right.
You know, boy or girl, like, it doesn't matter. They've never changed a tire. They don't know, like, they would have a flat and they would panic.
Right.
You know what I mean? I never wanted from, you know, they were growing up, I was like, I never want you to be in a position where you're going to have that kind of adversity and panic.
Sure.
You know, that just seems like, I don't know that if that's necessarily masculine or not. I'm going to put it in that category, but right. I think it's definitely a positive thing to pass on mm-hmm. or to have picked up from somewhere.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I picked those things up from my father. You know, I know you did too.
Yeah.
Not from my father, but your father. But
My dad, he taught me a lot. I learned a lot about him. I learned a lot about the integrity side, you know, basic character attributes, but, you know, it wasn't perfect. I was, you know, my parents went through a nasty divorce, unfortunately, and I was kind of a hellion and got in trouble and didn't know what direction to go in. And luckily, you know, I had people in my life that helped me get that compass back on the right azimuth.
Who was that?
But, my mom, for one. She's always been my rock, you know, and then my wife came into the picture, and, you know, we've been together over 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And she will, almost 30 years. We'll be married. July will be 30 years. So, you know, we've been together almost 30 years, I think.
Well, see,
can change. If I'm wrong, we'll go in and
edit. I'll edit that out.
Those dates. So, yeah, pretty. See, I'm old. Once you get up to those dates,
it's all the same.
So, but anyway, you know, she's definitely been a game changer, you know, for me as far as keeping me on point with things. I don't think I would be near successful doing what I do without her support, because she's always pushed me when I have these, you know, grandiose ideas to do stuff. She has never shut it down. My dad, on the other hand, you know, dad was very, and I'll use the word, you know, institutionalized, and he went in military service, you know, when he was, you know, I guess mm-hmm. 18, maybe a little younger.
Okay.
And, you know, he spent 41 years, 7 months in the military and another probably 13 in law enforcement. So, you know, very, trade his time for money. The, you know, typical industrial revolution, I guess, is, if my history is correct, is what we would refer to it as, to where you're trading your time for money. And excuse me, ghost. you know, dad was always he was really good. He was a hard worker. You know, I mean, he wasn't in special forces or anything like that. He was a tanker. He was an MP, and he retired as a warrant officer. I think he was maintenance division in a chemical brigade as a warrant officer. So okay. He was over all the vehicles and everything associated with that. But wasn't the most mechanically inclined guy. He would always tell me to figure it the F out. And so through my life, that's kind of what I did, is I learned to figure things out. And if I didn't know something, then I would either just continue prior to the internet, just do it until I either break it or get it to work.
Yeah.
Or, now with the internet, jump on, do a little research.
Yeah, YouTube's
and you know, yeah, and having that at your fingertips is no different. When I had a 69 Camaro, I'd never worked on, you know, a car engine. I got a 69 Camaro with a 350. I saved up, paid $800 for it, blew the engine in the first week. My neighbor was a mechanic, and well, he was a backyard mechanic. He was in the corporate world, but his hobby was working on cars.
Okay.
And so was his two sons. So they helped me out a lot with it, but we pulled the valve cover off and it was sludge. You could scoop it out. The lady, I don't think, ever changed the oil.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, those things I had to learn how to do. And you know, Jane's book back then, because there was no internet.
Right.
And now it's just, you do it on the internet. Yes. So it's just the information is at your fingertips versus a hard book. You just have to know where to look for it, not be lazy. Right. And rely on someone else. It's easy to say, hey, can you come do this?
Right.
It's like, I got to put, you know, I got to redo the screen. I'm getting ready to build a dog door in, but I got to redo the screen on my back porch where a couple of birds have pecked away at it. I've never done that.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be a pain in the butt, but guess what? It is screen and rubber trim.
Right. We can figure that out.
It can't be that hard.
Right.
So, all right. I digress. Moving on.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Well, there's a underlying theme going on here. We'll see if we touch on it some. The other one was wisdom, right? Allowing yourself to be open and shaped by experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so much, like, I don't want to use the term toxic, because I don't like that term toxic masculinity, because I don't know that there's like toxic masculinity as much as there are like toxic people.
You know,
you know what I mean?
I agree with that. I think
kind of like the Hulk serum. It's like, if you're a good person,
yeah,
the Hulk's going to be a nice guy. But if you're a terrible person, this is going to, like steroids, you know, it's going to make you more of a terrible person.
So, you know, I work with a lot of celebrities. And some of them are just, you know, tough as woodpecker lips. They really are. And really good, you know, self-reliant people. And yeah. I can't really talk about clients, but I'll tell you, man.
Yeah, we don't want to turn it into that.
But I can say something nice about one of them.
Okay.
And it's Keanu. Yeah. When I first met that dude,
yeah,
we're out in Los Angeles and we're loading out in one of the studios to put everything to the truck. He just got his food delivered, put his food down, turned his hat around backwards and started grabbing gear. And it wasn't just taking it outside. We had to take it, push it through the parking lot all the way down to where the truck was. And and he gets after it. So from a,
yeah,
from a, you know, everything you've heard about him is, you know, what a great person he is and stuff. It is true. He's a hard working fool. Man, that guy gets after it, whether it's his own, from what he does in the acting world, which everybody's seen. I haven't worked with him in that capacity, but on the music side, man, that dude's wearing the bass out all day before he goes and puts a show on, because he wants to put a great show on. So does the rest of the band. The rest of the band's awesome. And, but just, you know, a great guy. He's very self-sufficient. And I jokingly say, you're really good at adulting. So I have to reprogram how I normally do some of my things that I would normally do for other people. But he's just a great example. But the people I look to, because I think you have real world and you have social media world.
Yeah, right. Okay?
So, so these idols that I'll call them false idols that people look at, you know, and I don't mean anything disparaging by it, because are they acting? Or
it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people I look at, you know, my good friend Chris Cathers, for instance. Chris was Green Beret, worked for with a little agency somewhere else afterwards.
The agency that shall not be named.
Chris has stage 4 cancer. He had half his femur cut out, had a rod put in it. And he blames me for that, because after he was giving me a hard time about my hip replacement, and a few months later he had cancer in his femur. So they had to take out half of it, and he's got a rod and stuff. That maniac was in the gym as soon as he could get in the gym. And he's had it in his lungs and other areas, but he keeps getting after it. But take the personal side of what he's doing for himself, to take care of himself, that self-discipline, to where he knows, hey, I have to stay moving, motivated, and keep his mind healthy.
Yeah.
He started Brothers Keeper Veteran Foundation, And I tell you, everybody that's listened, check it out.
Yeah, they've heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Brothers Keeper Veteran Foundation. I believe it's .org.
Well known.
And he's doing everything he can to help, you know, our fellow veterans with a big focus on, you know, mental health and suicide awareness. And they just did a ruck. They came through here and
that's right. That was last week.
Yeah. They just came through here and it, you know, so those are the kind of people I look at that are inspiring, you know, though that's who inspires me. My mom's boyfriend, Bobby, over 30 years, you know, he's 82 years old and dude's still getting after it, you know?
Right. People underestimate, like take the workout thing. Mm-hmm. I know we're in the wisdom section, but the workout thing, like there's a, you can use it and kind of go too far. Like, sure. Like a David Goggins, everybody knows who David Goggins
is. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I find him inspiring, but at the same time, it's like, what are you repairing, man? Because like it's overcompensation for something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then there's guys like you're describing that are probably getting after, I mean, it's, I don't know, Goggins is crazy, but like they're still getting after it pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't underestimate like how much that's going to help you like mentally.
Right.
I think people don't understand how far off they get because they don't do those things. You know, they don't understand how unhealthy your mind can get.
Sure.
By not doing those things.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be like, you know, lifting heavy weights all the time. Sure. It can be whatever the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you've seen it. People just give up on stuff and it's like, well,
Well, and you know, wisdom and, you know, I know we're on that topic. Wisdom's basically experience. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're older. So we're passing on our experiences, our lessons learned to our kids and to other people. That's all it is. That's why, you know, oh, he's a wise man.
Yeah.
That's just a nice way of saying, hey, dude, you're old.
You've been through a lot of shit.
Well, you know, I was having it. My cousin works, he's on the fire rescue mm-hmm. team at Darlington and does a lot of other races as well. And they have, I think he said it was like a 35 degree embankment on the high side. And they have rope teams that come down. And so he was telling me about that, showing me some pictures and stuff. And I asked him something simple. I said, hey, I said, do you, because he's right-handed. I said, do you carry a prussic in your left cargo pocket? He's like, no. I said, well, what do you do if you get, you know, if you get a piece of that big jacket you're wearing or something caught in your eight plate? And because they're still using eight plates, there's a lot of other new things, and I'm behind the curve because I haven't been on rope in so long. But they've got a lot of other things that people are using. But up there, they're still using eight plates and just locking in. And when they have to do something, and he's like, "Why?" I said, "Because you can take that prussic, get a longer piece, couple foot, and you tie it in above and wrap it into your rope. And basically, it'll have a loop and it'll put a bite on to where it'll lock in." And I said, "All you gotta do is put your foot up in it, step up, take your pressure off, clean up whatever you have going on, and then you're right back in business." You know, but mistakes some people make. Some people panic and they pull a knife out and start working around. I mean, there's a lot of horror stories that's happened, or they have to rely on somebody to come down on a rescue line to pick them off and transfer them over to their rig. So there's a lot of, but it's little stuff like that. I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
Somebody taught me that in a class years ago, Rope Master class years ago. You know, so it's experience. You know, something that simple. And it's just a matter of passing those on. And ideally, you know, I always talk about some of the best advice is from mistakes, those lessons learned. Dude,
that's how you learn. I mean,
right. But you're trying to, and especially in my career field on the law enforcement side is, you know, you're trying to teach somebody not to make that same mistake because it could end up costing somebody their life.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's not that, you know, we're super people as far as Superman types or any of that. It's just you gotta pass that experience on and take the time to do it and be humble about it. And I'm sure that's probably one of the things we'll talk about later is humility, but
it is in there.
Yeah.
But being able to let yourself learn from experience too.
Yeah.
That definitely ties into humility. Yeah. So the next one, emotional flexibility, and I'll read it. Feeling your feelings and being able to name them, talk about them, and let them move through you instead of repressing or fusing with them.
Hmm.
I feel like that is a masculine flex.
Yeah,
to be able to just be cool with your emotions.
Are we going to talk about feelings now?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's.
But I mean, like I think of my dad, and I've seen him at funerals, mm-hmm. not a tear.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm sure when his dad died, not a tear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like when my dad passed, I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm not saying I'm, sure. I just realized I just said I'm more masculine than my father. That's not true. But like, you know, I think there's something there. I think there's something about being, you know, what is the term? What is he calling this? Rugged and flexible masculinity. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
The flexible part.
Sure. I mean, if you cry, you know, it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares? But right. It's, you know, put your ego in check.
Exactly.
And you know, there's somebody out there that's going to watch this go, oh, a bunch of sissies. It's like,
that's cool, man.
Yeah, whatever.
We should have therapy for sure.
You know, hell, I sit and watch some of these TV shows and start tearing up. You know? I mean, whatever.
Especially now as I get older, my, you know, my kids are older and it just goes faster. You start realizing like,
well, whew. You know, and I know we use our dads a lot because they were a big part of our lives.
Yes.
You know, when my dad died at the VA, I stood right there and watched him take his last breath.
Yeah.
And my mom was there. Her husband was there, which my dad and my mom's late husband, Jack, were really good friends. They became, you know, very close friends, which I'm glad because that way, you know, I was able to get my mom and dad together. And, you know, because it was nasty for several years. But I didn't cry. When he died, because my sister was there, I felt that I had to be there.
You're there for them.
They're steadfast to be there for them.
I felt some of that too.
Yeah, and you know, hell, talking about it, it's like I almost want to let it flow a little bit here.
Yeah,
but because it's not easy. It's like it was yesterday. You get it. You know, you have times you want to pick your phone up and call your pops and tell them, hey, you wouldn't believe what just happened today.
At least once a day.
Yeah. You know, and so I went outside around the VA hospital here in Columbia, and there was like a little alcove in the building. I sat down in the grass there and just let it go. So after that, I was so busy. My sister and I pretty much did most of the legwork. My mom helped, but Beth and I, we felt it our responsibility as the kids to get most of the logistics for the funeral done. So didn't have any emotional issues.
All business.
It became a transaction. Yeah. When I stood up, and that's doing all the pictures, video stuff. When I stood up to do his eulogy and I looked out and saw everybody sitting there.
You were able to do his eulogy? There was no way I could.
It made it real in that moment, and it fell on me like a ton of bricks.
Yes.
And it took me a few minutes to get my composure. I was able to do it. You know, I had to transition over into kind of a humorous to tell some funny stories about him to lighten me up in that moment. Yeah. So, you know, and that's how, you know, just my dark sense of humor half the time gets me through a lot of things, but
well, humor. But yeah. Humor.
It does.
Good
it,
for you.
It is. But you know, that, you know, I wasn't ashamed to stand up in front of, I had a lot of my colleagues and stuff in there as well. I wasn't ashamed. It was my dad died.
Yeah.
You know, he's laying right there.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah. You know, and everybody gets that. Anybody that doesn't, they're, you know, they're opposed.
They shouldn't be in your corner.
Yeah. And, you know, so, but talking about, you know, the, where we're at right now, as far as, you know, the masculine, who's masculine, who's not, who cares?
I know.
You know, what it boils down to is we're talking about, you know, with this podcast, what tangible things can we give to someone? We're regular, you and I are regular guys. Mm-hmm. What tangible things can we give information for people to walk away with to where they can implement it in their lives and make it better?
That's right. You know?
And it's these simple things. It's nothing grandiose because half the people, if not probably a high percentage more on the internet, you know, that's show business. When you start doing it, you know, it's show business. You know, we could take a 30-second reel, go do some exercises,
Mr. Oh, face, yeah, make it look
like we're crushing it.
We look like Goggins. I just ran a marathon.
Yeah. You know, and so, but you know, he's, excuse me,
ghost.
But, you know, and not taking any away, you mentioned him a few times, not taking anything away from the guy. You know, he's definitely a real deal runner
for sure,
and stuff.
For sure.
But, you know.
Is he like a SEAL, a ranger?
Yeah.
What's the
pararescue?
Pararescue.
Not pararescue. Combat controller.
Combat control. Yep. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, it say what you want about him. Dude made it through the stuff. That's just his style of how he's communicating across, you know? And everybody has their own way because that sells. That sells.
It is very, very
and
Instagram worthy.
Yes. Look at Jocko. Yes. It sells.
Yeah. The little sound bites are very good.
Yeah, absolutely. You build the brand. Yep. You build the brand. That's all you do. You're, you know, it's.
I love what he had to say. There was a clip and somebody had called in or written in or whatever and said, you know, the guy was like, look, man, I'm working my way through law school. I've got a year left and I just need to grind it out. Can you like record, like yell at me so I can play something back so that like when I'm feeling it, like you're talking about this morning, like I can play this thing and here you are yelling at me and it'll just make me get going. He's like, okay, cool. It's like, I'm not going to yell at you though.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to tell you about some guy in, you know, Vietnam that got POW and he couldn't sleep for two nights because the rats were eating at his wounds.
Right.
And you can't get up. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. there's so much today that's available.
Yeah.
But it boils down, strip all that away. Mm-hmm. It boils down to you.
Yeah.
Okay. If you take you as a template, how do you want to build your template? How do you want to build you? Draw a line. Here you are. Where do you want to be? What are your waypoints along the way? How do you achieve that? Okay. Starts with self-discipline. You have to get 100%. Up. You have to get moving. You have to pick up books, things like that. You know, I was able to hit one big waypoint by finishing my bachelor's degree that took forever. That was a promise I made.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
That was
man. Yeah. It took years to get it finished, but I did it. And I promised my dad, when my dad got his, he made me promise to get mine. So now I must be a teetotal idiot because I start graduate school January 15th. So.
Well, you are a glutton for punishment.
Oh, I know. But you know, it's just a matter of putting the work in. And I don't mind hard work because I like the results.
Yeah.
At the end of it, I like to yield, you know, that bounty at the end of it. And it's not always a financial gain. Sometimes it's just how it makes me feel.
For sure.
It's just like working out. What do we get out of working out? We're making an investment in ourselves. We get to live longer. We get better quality of life, you know, and we're going to be chasing after grandkids at some point.
That's the plan,
you know, and I want to be able to take them hiking and do things. And I mean, we only have so much usable time on this planet. So what are we going to do with it? How do we want to just exist or do we want to have good quality of life?
A friend of mine, Dan McCall, says life will never be long enough.
Yeah.
And it just won't.
No.
I mean, it just won't.
No.
So all that said, emotional flexibility. I mean, you have to have that emotional flexibility.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to be able to be okay with, you know, losing your shit.
Sure.
And then realizing it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And like you said, man,
you have to manage it though.
If there are people that think less of you because you can't control yourself in a situation where, you know, like you lost a loved one, that you probably shouldn't be friends with those people.
Yeah. And there's
probably move on.
With the emotional side of it, there's so many different levels though, where emotional intelligence plays into things because you got it in the workplace, you have it at home. And a lot of people don't know how to manage it. Sometimes you feel so dug in and invested in a, we'll say, argument, hit pause, turn around, walk away and re-strategize, re-engage.
Yeah. There's a podcaster. It's like, I'm always talking about SEALs, but his name's, Mr. Ballin. He's got like one of the top five podcasts or something this year. I was just looking at the
ratings. That's probably why I haven't heard of him. I just look at the ones that are
look at mine, top, bottom of the list. Anyway, he tells scary, not scary stories. He tells stories like people getting lost in the woods and never being found or other spooky things like that. But he's a SEAL that retired. Now he's doing something different. But he said that he was, I just saw him on a podcast, and it was interesting because it was him and the two younger guys. Like, I think they were like early 20s and asking this guy these questions. And they're asking about relationship advice. And he said that his wife's name is Amanda. And he said he has one, his number one rule is always be good to Amanda. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, so anytime we're like fighting or like think, you know, like maybe things you should be, think you should be fighting or whatever. He just has that. He says, always be good to Amanda. Like,
yeah,
like it's not worth it. Like these petty things that we argued when we were younger.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you've been 30 years or almost 30 years. I've been married for 25 years. Like, it just, some of that shit just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But when it doesn't matter.
When it boils down to it, you know.
It's like not important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid of my wife at all.
I know, me either. The door's locked, right?
Yeah. I run things around my house. Yeah. I run the dishwasher, vacuum cleaner, washing machine. I run all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but you're right. You know, it's not worth it. I can't tell you how blessed, fortunate, thankful, all those key vernaculars that are associated with the fact that I do not have a crazy woman living in my house.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's and I haven't had that drama, those arguments and stuff in my marriage. Yeah. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah.
I have friends that you know, they wind up most of the time. I mean, it seems like you know, generally speaking, you're like, everyone graduates college. You're talking about your friends or your peers. Everybody graduates college. Everybody gets married. And you go like that part of your life, 4 or 5 years where everyone's getting married. And then it's like 4 or 5 years. Everyone's having kids. And then it's like 4 or 5 years. Everyone's getting divorced.
Yeah.
It's like this.
It's like a template.
It's like a template roller coaster that most of your friends are going to fall into.
Yeah. Most of our friends are divorced. You
know? Yeah. Mine are too.
And remarried and divorced and remarried.
Well, in some cases, yeah. Like four, it's like what the hell? Like there's a lot of stuff there, I think, that emotional intelligence goes into. I think you have to be aware enough of whenever you're getting out of control.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like you're holding on to that. I gotta be right.
Absolutely.
It's like, but they're on your team. Like that's your teammate.
Yeah.
Like it's not that you're right over them. It's like you both kind of need to be right.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And if one of you is wrong, you're both wrong.
Yep.
You know,
I mean, we kind of have so much commonality when we met, you know, because, you know, touching back growing up, you know, I never wanted for anything in my childhood. Always was provided for. Always had a nice house and stuff, but I wasn't given anything. My sister wasn't given anything.
For sure.
My sister worked full time and put her way through college. Living down in Miami, and she paid her way all the way through. And I've done the same thing. It took me a lot longer in that aspect, but I went, you know, into the workforce, military, and then, you know, later into law enforcement, but it, so, you know, and my wife basically, you know, from that same arena. So we've kind of grown together in that aspect and so we both get it.
I've got some friends that, you know, you can tell like one kind of had that background where they, you know, maybe they didn't have I can think of one, like he didn't have a dad. So he really worked hard for everything, but his wife was kind of like given everything.
Yeah.
And so there's a big discrepancy on like the way they see the world. And there's a lot of that. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean,
I
do think it comes down to emotional intelligence.
Sure. Like, it does. And the answer is different for everyone.
Yeah,
because we're not all the same. And,
exactly.
And you have X factors built into it, you know, and I think a lot of those X factors will come from emotion because
I think they do.
Yeah. Because I've especially working in law enforcement.
Oh, man.
I have seen one extreme to another from being in and out of households. And, you know, it's mostly domestics. Domestics
are
the nastiest calls we go on. And and you see it from one end of the spectrum to the other. And, you know, I had one lady, and I'm not joking when I tell you this, the lady was, her husband had just beat, and he wasn't there. He beat the crap out of her. Dude, she pulled her teeth out of her pocket.
Ugh.
The ones she had left. And, she had, and been pretty heavy, I think, at one point on meth and lost a lot of them. But she pulled her teeth out of her pocket like it was nothing. And she had been in that environment for so long, and that just wasn't the norm for her. She didn't even want to press charges. And I was like, well, ma'am, I said, you don't have a choice here. I said,
yeah, we're doing this for you.
Yeah, I said, because of the visible injury and stuff back then. But, you know, it's just, it's crazy. But she was as calm as could be. And then, you know, see total polar opposite with other calls to where it's still active when we get there and there's nothing at the moment that will calm them down. And then later when you go to bond court, that person that were just,
they're all over each other.
No. The just talking about the person.
Oh,
it was irate at the scene. When you go to bond court, and you see them there. They're just totally calm. They'll say, I'm really sorry for how I acted and stuff. You know, so it's like a true Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde concept.
Some people are like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like once you get me going, man, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Shirt comes off.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah.
Hey, why do people in the South? That's a Southern thing. The shirt comes off.
I don't know. I could kind of see somebody like Jersey Shore being
shirtless, that's a like, good point.
Wanting to fight, you know, somebody from Boston, you know.
Boston.
Yeah.
Those freaking hot ons.
Get your finger out of my chowder. Now, see, I can't do impressions. All right.
I think you're for the New England.
Yeah. Chowder. Humility. We were kind of leading to that too.
Yep.
Knowing what you don't know, which for almost all of us is the vast majority of everything. I don't know. That's kind of a very Arnold thing to say, but I mean, humility, like it's sort of it's a big thing in the martial arts, like to almost like, or to submit yourself to learning. But I do think it is definitely a positive trait.
Sure.
I see it as a positive trait. I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, a masculine trait. I think it's just a good trait.
So let's talk about the martial arts for a second and perfect examples. Cause you and I are friends.
Mm-hmm.
We cut up, grab ass, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
When we step on that mat, you are sir. You say sir. It's that respect.
Yeah.
And why? Because it's tradition.
Yep.
We are respecting the tradition of not only the style of martial arts that we are training.
That's right.
But everything that goes into that dojo is that respect. Because when we go there, and this is just me spitballing, and how I feel about it is I look at that as almost like a sanctuary.
Absolutely.
That's my temple. Because we've said it numerous times. When we step on the mat, that's all that matters. What we're doing on the mat. The business stuff.
Yeah, you leave it all.
Everything. I don't think about anything else except what my task is on that mat.
It's your hour.
And how I can get better and how I can help others in there get better. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And it simplifies it. It boils.
It does. It really does.
And it strips the meat all the way down to the bone. And it's as simple as you can get. Yep. And
that's why you're a good partner to train with.
And it's okay. You know, if you're doing a technique, sure, sign me up. I'll be your test dummy. Do whatever. I'm not going to bow up on you and try to do something. You know, and I'm going to tell you, man, I think I mentioned Bruce Hancock from the Criminal Justice Academy in the last one that we did.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I love watching over the years back when people would just try to bow up and when he is professionally demonstrating a technique. So,
right.
So it's like, you know, 50 to 60 people that are in there can learn something. You get a knucklehead that wants to try
it. Like, what are you doing?
Oh man.
I know.
It was so entertaining to watch how professionally he dealt with that.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Oh my God. I used to love watching that. And I guess that's why I've always gotten along with him. People would trash talk and stuff. I'm like, nah, the dude just takes his job serious because he's teaching life-saving skills. But yeah, I would just, you know, I wish I could just go set a chair up in there. I don't know if it's changed now, but back then, man, I would love to just sit there with some popcorn and watch the entertainment value of back in the day, especially when we were able to get away with a little bit more, but
I kind of miss some of that.
Yeah. But I mean, it's okay to be humble, you know, walking
right in,
you know, when I was, as chief of police, you know, I had my first supervisors meeting with all the line supervisors and command staff. And I told them, I said, this is our agency. I cannot run this agency and operate it by myself. there's no way.
Right.
And one of the things that will upset me the most, and I'm talking to them, I said, if you sit here in this meeting and contribute nothing, I want to hear your voice. I need to hear your voice.
Yes.
And I had a hit list of things that we had to go over for each meeting. So it was organized and I wasn't in there, you know, wasting time.
Right.
And at the end, I'd go around to each one of them and let them put stuff out. And as they do, I'm taking notes. So they would bring certain things that might not have been on that agenda. They would bring certain things up and I'd sit there and take notes.
Yeah. They're seeing things you don't see.
They see me making an investment in them and I followed up on every single one of them. And some of the things we were able to make, they were fantastic ideas and we were able to make happen. Some things were fantastic ideas that we couldn't make happen. You know, they didn't always get a yes, but they always got my respect and my due diligence on anything that they presented. And it's okay because I would ask questions, you know, because there's things like if I went out to work a traffic accident right now, I would totally screw that report up because I haven't worked an accident in, you know, probably 15 years.
Right. And it's different. Yeah.
It's okay to ask for help on it, or how do you do this form?
Right.
You know, and a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah. You know? They need to know.
Well,
they need to be in control.
They fake it. Yeah. And if you go on, you can watch some of these videos and take First Amendment auditors, for instance.
Oh, God.
And officers, because of ego and any host of other character attributes, you might as well picture a shovel in their hands with them just shoveling and digging their hole deeper.
It looks like it.
Because.
Ghost.
Because they're too worried about losing face to step back, jump on their phone, look up the law to start with.
Yeah.
Something that simple. I mean, so I don't know. And I think we could spend a lot of time, but I think
those guys always look kind of douchey when they're doing that. But then you can watch the other person and you're like, why are you?
Yeah.
Why are you being like that?
Listen, I get it.
Excuse me. It's like, but just let them stay.
Yeah. It's like, go out. Hey, can I help you with something? No, I'm here doing this.
Cool.
Okay. I understand. I understand that my parking lot is public property.
Yeah.
If I didn't want people to walk around and video in the cars, well, guess what? Put a fence up and secure it and put the proper signage.
Right.
And, you know, I hear officers say, oh, you can't, I have a computer in there that you can see the screen. Well, guess what? You're not supposed
to turn that shit off.
You're not supposed to have your screen visible.
Right.
That's, you know, under
for that same reason.
Yeah. That's in policy that you can't have that visible to the public because there's, you know, sensitive information on that. So, yeah, I don't get it. You know, why flex over something like that?
Both sides of that stupid.
It can get insane.
Humility. I can't stop thinking about Steven Seagal, but
I feel like I should sit like this now. Yeah.
How you say in English?
How do you say,
motherfucker? You're from Michigan.
Dude, that was hilarious.
It's like, how you say in English? It's like, wait, what? You speak English?
Yeah. It's kind of like King of the Hill, Bobby. You made a C in English. You speak English.
I don't know, Dad. But yeah, humility. Like I was just I did an episode with someone who's he's like the head coach. He owns the team as the head coach.
Yeah.
And you know, we were talking about this and how like he was just so surprised that like his team like, because these were like he's been working with like CrossFitter, like high level CrossFitters, like world class, you know,
kind of like me,
just like us, just like our workout this morning. one of his guys, you know, is in the games and all this kind of stuff. And he was just like, the level at which they will listen, like no matter what I say, they will just take it and execute it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that's being a professional.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like having that humility. And what is it, Mark Divine? He always preaches ready to lead, ready to follow.
Right.
And I love that one. That's on my poster there. But like that is such a great sign of humility when you're, you know, ready to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then if I need to step up and do some things that I see need doing, they're just gonna get done.
It's like our Wednesdays. When you come to my gym,
we just do whatever.
Yeah, you know what? And it's when you when you let go of that, it's almost liberating.
It's so fun.
We get there. All I had to do was show up. You just had to show up.
Yep.
You're like, glad I don't have to play in that.
I mean, it's so fun. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And that's a great example of it. You know, it's we're guests in each other's house, and we're just following, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. If you go to get an invite to someone's house and then
you're not going to critique the stuffing.
Exactly.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. You'll take a smaller portion and you'll choke it down and then tell them how wonderful it was. That's right. You'll move on.
Right.
You
know? So such a, yeah. I mean, come on. One of the other things that Dan was talking about was, and you were kind of touching on this, was show me, don't tell me.
Yeah.
I actually think that is a product of humility. Because I feel the pull too. 9 times out of 10, I can't resist the urge to tell you about something cool I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, but why didn't you just do it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's good relationship advice too. I mean, yeah. I need to follow that a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quit talking about the shit you're going to do and just come home early and do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I heard the other day too.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. Something. Never talk to anyone that's not qualified to listen. For what you're doing. So okay. If you're doing something on the business side and you go and you're talking to someone that's not qualified to listen to at that level of what you're wanting to do.
Why are you talking to them?
Yeah. You know, so same concept, you know, be a doer.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that thinking about things that way, just show them, don't absolutely. Tell them. And even the humility to like not tell them after you've done it.
Right.
You know what I mean, like, he's done. Everybody can enjoy it. You really need that credit.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's not on Instagram, it's not real.
Right. And you know, that's where we lose some of our humility. We have to give it away, you know, for what we're doing in the business side is building our Instagrams and podcasts and stuff. You have to give up some of that.
You do.
To a point.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a tactful way to do it and there's non-tactful, you know, and if we, chances are, if we took that non-tactful and went over the top, we'd probably grow faster.
Probably.
You know, but it's what it is.
Who's going to carry the boat, son?
That's right.
I keep picking on him. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
All right. We got two more. I want to make sure we get them. True confidence.
Okay.
Not feeling the need to intimidate, one up, or make others feel bad to be okay with yourself. That's solid.
Yeah.
It's not, no shit.
Yeah,
that's definitely a good masculine flex.
Yeah, that's a good definition on that.
That's one of the, like, with this, it doesn't seem like it today because I'm picking on, you know, old Goggins here. But like, I've always wanted to, I want to make sure that this thing is positive in nature.
Right.
You know, and I feel like you look at, you know, the internet. Mm-hmm. Lots of what do you call them? Like red pill podcasts.
Sure.
And like Andrew Tate's and these overly, you know, masculine directed things.
Right.
You don't, and I mean, look, even feminism,
sure,
to a certain point goes too far the other way. You don't have to tear something down to make this thing better.
Sure.
You know, I hate that when I see that.
Yeah.
You know, like if you want to build the tallest building in town, you don't do it by tearing down all the other buildings.
Yeah.
You just build yours taller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what that seems like, it doesn't seem like a thing that most people do.
Right. but you know, it's from.
It's like, it's fun to talk shit.
And to a point it is. And you know what? And I'm a ball buster, you know,
but there's a difference between busting balls and
I do it in good fun.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, I like it when, you know, I get fired back on because it's fun. It builds camaraderie. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was working a detail up in New York several years ago. And one of the NYPD guys, Sacco, was an Army cat. And, you know, I'm Navy. So he and I were picking at each other back and forth. And he goes, you got to meet my, my partner. He was in the Marine Corps. And I said, where's he at? So we go over there and, Noel, he's a little short Filipino guy. And, I walk up and I see his Eagle Club and Anchor's EGA is on his mag pouch. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be so easy. And, I said, oh wow, man, are you a Marine? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, I appreciate your service. I said, you know, I tried to get in the Corps and met with multiple recruiters and took the test and I said, I just couldn't get in. And he does a little flex. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, why not? And I was like, my ASVAB score kept coming back too high. I had to join the Navy. And anyway, he and I, we are just for hours. I'm talking, we're out there like 12, 14 yeah, hours. Right. And we had three city blocks that was sterile that we were working in. And man, we're just jabbing, just hook and move, sticky move, hook and move or stick and move. We hooked and stuck.
Yeah.
And so from that day, and we went out and had some beers the next day, but from that day, we've been great friends. He's come to the house vacation, took him on his first skydive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, just a fantastic guy, but it started with that.
But see, I was going to say, yes, but I feel like you would not do that unless you genuinely cared about that person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm not picking or
yeah, it's not like that,
you're
not doing it to make yourself bigger and better than right. the other person.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you want to connect and you want to care. You care about that person. It's a very big difference.
Yeah. And at the same time,
it's coming from a place of confidence.
I hammer myself harder than anybody.
Right.
You know, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's not that I've got, you know, issues with that, you know, and it's, you know, being homeless. Like right now I'm 55 years old and I feel like I'm fat, you know? So how do we fix that? Is it just by, you know, wishing the weight away? No,
you go.
It's by us getting after it. Yeah. It's the nutrition.
Yep.
Which, you know, my neighbor, she's a registered dietitian.
Kind of lucky with that.
Yeah. You know, and she's former IFBB pro, you know, so she's taking her time to work with me. And so out of respect for her, I'm not going to go and waste her time.
Exactly.
Because then what am I doing? One, I'm being disrespectful to her and I'm cheating myself by not doing.
You're just pissing on all that help that she's giving you.
And, you know, and it's, you know, it's no secret that as we get older, we've got to watch not necessarily the weight. We have to watch the weight because the weight drives our numbers up. So I've got a few numbers that are high. I need to get down. And the only way to do that is through fitness, nutrition, and sleep. That's it. That's the combination.
That's the magic three.
There's your hack. And so, yeah. But
which is number six, by the way, physicality, which we get out of the way. It was the last one.
But, you know, between the information that she's downloading to me and her husband, who's the department chair of exercise science for the university, that's a fantastic couple. They, in my opinion, they would fall into that salt of the earth category.
Gotcha.
And their dog. She's awesome.
Got a great dog.
She's awesome. But you know, it's the fact that everything we've just talked about, that's the type of stuff they share. If they took all that information and knowledge they had, they would, the world would be a lesser place, because the research they're doing, the knowledge they're sharing is just, it's fantastic. And it helps people. It's helping me, you know, just from the accountability aspect of tracking my nutrition and stuff. Physicality, read the definition.
Connecting to your body and being grateful for what it can do. Maintaining your health so that you can show up, protect, and care for those around you for a very long time.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Pretty damn solid.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. And when you think about a man like Arnold Schwarzenegger saying that, you know, I mean, it's a human being that's used his body to, you know, forge his career.
Sure.
And he's, you know, Mr. Atlas for world, whatever the
Olympia.
Hell it was. Olympia, thank you.
Yeah.
For, you know, whatever. He's the man.
He had the record.
Conan the Barbarian.
Who beat him? Was it Dorian Yates? No, it was Lee Haney, I think, beat his record for the most.
Oh, was it the most in
Olympia,
a row?
Mr. Olympia. Yeah. It was Arnold. I mean, it was Arnold. And I want to say, and I'm going off of memory, folks, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I want to say it was Lee Haney and then maybe Dorian Yates.
No, Dorian Yates was there for a while.
Yeah. I can't remember. I haven't followed. I used to really follow
him
back in the day. Yeah. And, but yeah, you gotta, if you don't have your body to where you, and you know, cause again, that ties into, your physical performance ties into everything, cognitive process, you know,
well, there's so many people like when they'll come in the gym and it'll be a guy, middle age, overweight. I mean, not like obese, but clearly not in good shape.
Sure.
Like dad bod plus plus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they'll make a joke. I don't have a six pack. I got a keg.
Right.
They'll make that. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that joke.
Oh, too. Yeah, I've used it.
And but at first I was always like, ha ha ha. But now I realize it's actually that they're missing this trait. Like they don't have it, and it's seeping into everything else. It's killing their confidence.
Yeah.
It drives their humility down to where they've got to try to overcompensate in other areas.
Right.
They're probably the one, you know, honking at you to go as soon as you're at the damn red light, you know. But it took me a while to learn that, but that's what that is.
Sure.
You're just masking it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're not doing those things that you're talking about. You've got to connect to your body. You've got to take care of yourself.
You're absolutely right.
And you want to be there for everybody else. You got to take care of yourself.
Yeah. We all wear masks. We all have masks. We all have issues daily that we deal with. You know, it's just like when we work out, we got stuff that hurts. Well, we just work around it, you know, but you can't say, oh, well, I'm not going to work out today, you know, because this hurts or that hurts. You work around it and you still get after it, you know? And, you know, and a lot of times it's just once you start moving through it, like today, my knee and back were screaming at me.
Yeah.
But I went a little slower. And then as we started going on, it got easier because I started warming up and so forth. But yeah, you know, I'm not afraid to say, man, you know, I've been in great shape. I've been in not great shape. And there's times, even in my own private gym at the training center, you know, there's times where I feel a lack of confidence with certain things that I'm doing because I don't feel I'm where I need to be, you know, physical fitness wise. And it's weird how that creeps in, but you beat it down. When that starts creeping in, you've got to beat it down. You break contact with it and you go do something in there and get rid of it. Because if not, it will grow.
It will.
I mean, it will spread like a wildfire. So you've got to, you know, realize it and then get after it and get rid of it as best you can.
You do.
You know, but sure, it's, you know, and it's okay. Everybody's got, you know, issues, we'll call them. Challenges.
For sure.
Challenges is a better word to use, you know, and it's just a matter of how you address it. But I think, again, it boils down to the self-discipline aspect of knowing who you are, knowing what your goals are, and having a plan on how to get there and achieve those goals.
Right. I dig that.
So you got to have those waypoints. And, you know, from the masculinity side of it, you know, this is masculinity, femininity.
Whatever.
Femininity. I have to say that slowly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a tough word. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty proud. I have a college degree, so I can say that word. But those are culturally influenced. Those characteristics and traits or attributes, whatever you want to call them, you know, those start at that young age and can be culturally influenced, sometimes biologically influenced. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I'm not an expert in the area by any means, but I think it ties into you know, who do you have in your life and what are you learning, you know, at those if you don't have those positive people in your life
for sure
that can inspire you and not tell you, oh, well, that's dumb. You shouldn't do that. Right. You know, my dad used to always say, you know, cause he, why are you doing that? So we'll look good on the resume was my running joke. You need to just focus on working.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I enjoy working. I'm not afraid of work, you know, but I like to try to do more, you know, and I like to do things I want to do, you know, and still chase the dreams. I don't let anybody shut my dream. I could care less what anybody has to say about, you know, what input anyone has on what I want to do in life. If there's something that gets in my crosshairs, a goal that I want to achieve, well, guess what?
There's not many people that tell me otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to plan it and I'm going to execute it. And there's nothing that anybody's going to be able to do about it to stop me from achieving my goal because it's what I want to do.
Yep.
So once I hit that, then I'll find something else and I'll move on. And, you know, but if I don't have my confidence, that wisdom or experience, you know, if I'm not physical enough to where because I have to travel a lot. So that's physically demanding with what I do.
You know? I mean, even if you're sitting at a desk, you have to
sure
be able to sit there.
Right. you know, but, you know, yeah. lugging bags and equipment and all that type of stuff after sitting on a plane for, and that wears you out.
Yeah.
Those international flights.
For sure.
Dude. You know, so all that stuff that, that we've talked about, it all ties in, but again, boiled down to self-discipline. You got to get off your ass and you got to get in the game. Bottom line, yeah, you know, it's what do you want? You know, your best picture, how do you want to live your best life? You know,
I love it.
And that's it.
Rugged and flexible. Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, we're using the term masculinity. It's what I wanted to do just as a, it's what I know. Cause I'm a dude.
I
don't know that it necessarily has to just be in that bucket.
No,
but I mean, it's a good way to talk about it.
Sure.
But
it's semantics. There's so many semantics, you know, and everything seems to be so socially driven today.
Yeah. It's a why big not, semantic
why
argument.
Why not focus on just, you know, working hard, working smart, you know, to improve yourself, but more importantly, help others around you.
Yeah. Is it that hard?
You know, because for me, that's motivating.
Right.
That's
for sure. I want to be around those people.
Yeah. You know, because, and you work, you know, you've heard the term, it takes a village, mm-hmm. you know? So
yeah,
if we work like just, we're just scratching the surface of doing things together, you and I, on the business side. So think about we push and we're like-minded.
Yeah.
So think about what we can accomplish when we actually, when I'm in town and we actually have time to sit.
We're not hanging out with your friend, Keanu Reeves.
By the way,
I haven't met yet.
Soon. I'm just kidding. You're not going to get emotional.
I might. And start crying. When I meet him, I probably will.
Are you going to weep?
Probably.
But
he's a great example.
He is
of a good positive masculine role model, in my opinion.
He's a good
really
dude.
Is.
Yeah. He's a good dude. He's very humble. And that's you know, I'm not giving anything away that's a secret or talking about clients.
Yeah,
you know,
go look on the internet. That. Yeah.
Look on the internet, but I can validate that he's a wonderful human being. And you know what, I've been fortunate. All my clients that I've worked with in that realm have been fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I really have been blessed in that aspect of it. And
that'd be no fun to work with somebody.
Yeah, but you know, douche. But I'm also not the guy that's gonna, you know, come in and put my arm around you taking pictures and all that. You know, I got one client that I've had almost 18 years. I might have 5 or 6 photos of he and I doing something, but they're organic photos. Right. Like we're sitting around smoking cigars and somebody takes a picture that's with us, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not this starstruck. We're two dudes. It's just like this morning, you and I took a picture together.
Yeah.
Right. Same concept.
Yep.
You know, and they're regular people. That's their job, you know? And it's just like, if we roll up to a hotel, I tell the professionals, hey, I tell anybody, hey, off limits. This is home. We're off work.
Yeah.
You know, and people have to be respectful of that.
Right.
You know, and but I don't think it needs to go in the one masculinity bucket.
I think
more titling it, you know, positive character attributes or something like that, you know, might be. But again, it's all semantics. It's just you got to get after it.
It is, man.
That's it.
I love it. Thank you. Brother, it was a great conversation again.
Yeah,
it's good morning.
Always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
Do it again.
Do something from the road remotely.
That'd be fun.
And because as it looks right now, I'm going to be out probably the rest of the year.
You'll be having fun for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a lot of running the road and building those frequent flyer miles.
All right, man. Well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Looking forward to the next one.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.